You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, listeners. This is Gary Jacot from the French History Podcast. Katie and Nathan wanted me to warn you that they use strong language in the show, so if that's not your thing, this might not be the show for you. If you do want to listen to a show without swearing but is just as steamy, check out the French History Podcast and learn about the country of art, love, and culture from 3 million years ago to present. Now, if you'll pardon their French, it's on with the show.
Hi, this is Katie.
And this is Nathan.
And you're listening to Queen's Podcast, the show about badass women in history. Nathan, hola.
Hola, Nathan. Señorita.
Oh, ay. I'm a señora, actually.
Oh, you are. Mm. Technically.
Well, hey, Nathan.
Hey, Katie. I am so excited about this episode. I think I've been excited since we started Queen's Podcast for this one.
Yeah, like whenever we first started, we actually, probably about a month ago, somebody reached out to us on Instagram and was like, y'all should cover this queen. And like my little Texas heart just hopped out of my chest. And I was like, anything for Selena.
I know, right? It's so true. Selena Quintanilla. It's, of course, our queen Tejano queen.
Tejano.
I know. Oh, I'm so excited.
I feel like people that aren't from Texas don't understand the cultural icon that Selena Quintanilla is. I actually didn't even know what her last name was before we started researching, because she's just
like Prince.
Selena.
She's like,
yeah,
Prince.
She's like Madonna, Cher, Selena.
One name, just Selena. And everybody's like, oh, you mean Selena.
Yeah. So before we get into it, Nathan, tell us. You have really outdone yourself with this cocktail.
Oh, thank you.
Please give everyone the recipe. It is delicious.
So you take a cup of strawberry juice, mm-hmm. a cup of tequila. I like the blanco. And then I do a cup of triple sec. And then I took half of a jalapeno, a smaller one, and then scooped out the seeds. But a half of a jalapeno, let it soak in there for a good 30 minutes. And put that in the fridge, let it soak. And then you pour like a little champagne flute halfway full of that. And then after that, you top it off with champagne and serve with a lime and a strawberry. And guys, it's smoky, sweet,
yes.
spicy. It is just well-rounded. It is a very delicious drink for a very beautiful queen.
Yes.
So we enjoy cheers.
With those measurements, though, I do like to say when we made this, like a cup of tequila, a cup of triple sec, this is to make like a pitcher, not purge.
This is not to drink all
in one sitting.
No, ma'am.
We made about four drinks when we made it together. Yeah.
Yes, it makes a, and those were hefty drinks.
Those were hefty drinks. Yes. Yeah.
It makes way more than four.
Oh my goodness!
Drink responsibly,
drink
guys.
Listen to this podcast responsibly. All right. Before we get in to the life of Selena, let's do some Patreon shout-outs.
Yes. So who's up first, Katie?
We got Courtney, Serena, and Kristen.
And then we got Rebecca, Hannah, and Anna.
Yes. And thanks as always, supporting us. Yes, thanks for supporting and the show. But thanks to all of everyone. Our listeners. Yeah. Yeah, we everyone, love you everyone. All. But, you know, if you pay for it, you're gonna shout out. Anyway.
So, Selena was born April 16th, 1971 in Lake Jackson, Texas. So, this makes her an Aries. And to be honest, God. She has got big Aries energy.
She is quintessential Aries. Absolutely.
Our girl is an Aries. She's an Aries, and we love this for her.
Quintessential super Aries. Super duper.
Yeah, it is her to a T.
Yes. So, Lake Jackson, Texas is a small town not far from Houston, right on the Gulf of Mexico. Fun fact, it is just under 2-hour drive from where Nathan and I grew up.
Yeah, y'all, it's like our next door neighbor.
Yeah, because in Texas, 2-hour drive is next door because Texas
in every
is
other state,
big.
In every other state, they're like, that's a whole different state.
Yes. Except for maybe like, Alaska.
touche. But let's talk about Selena's parents because you kind of need to understand their background to really get her upbringing. Mm. Specifically, her dad's background. So.
Right. Her mom's name was Marcella, and she was part Mexican-American and part Native American descent. And her dad was Mexican-American. He's like second-generation Texan, though, born in Corpus Christi. On her dad's side, Selena is, like, their family had been in America for a really long time. She's like third, fourth generation or something. So even though she's famous as being this Tejano queen and most famous for her Spanish songs, Selena was not raised bilingual. Selena was raised American. She only spoke English growing up.
Yeah, and her dad's name was Abraham Quintanilla, and he grew up in Corpus Christi, Texas. So Corpus Christi, Texas is right next, right on the Gulf of Mexico,
yeah.
Right next to the Mexican border. Again, they're neighbors in Texas terms.
Yeah.
It's a 3-hour drive. It's a Texan thing.
Yeah.
So they're right next to the Mexican border. So when Abraham was in high school, he caught the music bug
Bad. And
dropped out of high school to pursue becoming a musician. Maybe this is some foreshadowing.
Abraham was a super, super hard-headed person, which is going to be a theme for most of the characters in this show. No one could ever tell him no. No one. So he joined a band called Los Dinos, and they released a couple of singles that did okay, like on a regional level. They had a couple of singles. They were booking some shows in Texas, but they weren't really, they never got the like exposure that Abraham thought that he deserved as a musician.
Then he met his wife and she got pregnant and he finally decided to settle down. And though he loved his family.
Yeah.
Really loved being a father, feels like he had a little bit of regret that the music thing that he had never really took off.
Right.
So, obviously, maybe this is important later.
Put a pin in that.
Maybe.
So, fast forward, Nathan. 1971, the Quintanilla family is living in Lake Jackson. And by the time Selena hits the scene, she has an older brother named A.B., and an older sister named Suzette, and dad is working at a chemical plant, which for East Texas, everybody's dad worked. My dad and my stepdad both worked at chemical plants. Like, that's a very, very normal thing. And mom stayed at home with the kids. So very traditional values, very traditional upbringing.
Yes. And actually, the doctors told them their third child would be a boy, so they had the name Mark Antony chosen for him.
Mm-hmm. Surprise!
But, surprise! She got a vagina.
She has a vagina.
baby's got a vagina.
Yep.
And that makes her a girl.
Yep.
And one of the other new mothers in the hospital was just like, you know what? You know what name I like? Selena. And that's
so Selena
how
she
her
is.
Name.
I don't believe this, though. I think somebody in the story was a history nerd in the closet, because Mark Antony, that is Cleopatra's husband.
Yes.
Cleopatra and Mark Antony's daughter together was Cleopatra Selene. Same name, Selena. That's Mark Antony's daughter. So that's the official story of how she got named Selena. I think her parents are either closeted history nerds, and they were just like, that's nerdy, let's not tell anybody that. Or the lady that randomly in the hospital was like, I like the name Selena, knew that that was Mark Antony's daughter's name. Right? Because that's too close to be a coincidence, right?
Yeah, that's way too close to be a coincidence. That's not a coincidence, that's deliberate.
Right? Anyway, so like whenever I read that, like this little center of my like history nerd brain just went off. It was like, that ain't right. Anyway, let me dig myself out of that hole. Yeah.
No, but also, do you remember Ron Paul, that weird guy that ran for president a couple times?
Yeah. That weird little man.
He delivered her. So that has nothing to do with the story, but just...
I forgot that he was an OBGYN.
Yeah, that's like 6 degrees separation from Kevin Bacon, but it's like
Ron Paul. Weird politicians. 6 degrees of separation of weird politicians, yes. So, though Daddy was working hard at the chemical plant job, every night he'd come home and he'd play guitar to his kids. Like, it was still his passion. Mm-hmm. Music was his passion. And when Selena was about 4 or 5... she would start to sing along with Abraham. And eventually Abraham was like, whoa, wait a goddamn minute. This girl has pipes. He said he noticed when she was 5 years old that she had perfect pitch. Can you imagine? 5.
Oh, gosh. Gosh. I'm not surprised because it's Selena.
Yeah, yeah.
But, I mean, that's amazing.
Yeah.
And by the time Selena was 6 years old, she was the singer of her family's new band. This is totally giving me the Jackson.
I know. It's very, yeah, it's got a lot of. Yeah, like, yeah.
But they were originally called Selena's y los Ninos. And by the time Selena was 6 years old, she was the singer of her family's new band, originally called Selena y los Ninos. Mm. Her brother AB was on the bass guitar and sister Suzette was on the drums.
Why did he just take the name of his old band? Why didn't they come with a new band?
I don't know. And this is totally giving me like the Jacksons.
So like, similar. So similar. Like, I'm a failed musician, so y'all gotta sing. But no, she was 6 when she started in this band. 6 years old. And she was a singer in the band for the rest of her life. Do you think she even had a memory in her life where she wasn't a singer in a band?
Oh no, absolutely not. There's no way. Like, she just, like, my earliest memories, I think my earliest memory is like 3 or 4 years old. But at the same point, it's just like I was crawling down the hallway.
Your earliest fully cognizant memory.
Yeah.
For her, she was probably singing in a band. Yeah.
That's crazy. And Abraham, seeing this talent, immediately starts booking gigs. And they were, at the time, primarily covering songs from top 40 charts, at restaurants, weddings, you know, anywhere that they could get a little gig in the Houston area.
Right. Something worth noting, Selena and her siblings spent all their time, when they weren't in school, working on this band. So after school, they practiced. On the weekends, they practice. On the weekends, they were also traveling around for gigs. So we think it's worth mentioning that Selena didn't have a normal childhood. She was 6. So my niece's 6th birthday was just yesterday. I can't imagine her having any kind of schedule like this.
A band.
She didn't have friends outside of her family. She didn't do any school sports. She was never in a school play. She didn't have a chance to have, like, boyfriends in school. The only school dances she ever went to were the ones that she was performing at. So I think it's noteworthy that she didn't have a normal childhood. You're so right. This is giving me Jackson vibes.
Yes, yeah. 100%. And the family, just like the Jacksons, is their own little community.
Yeah.
And not a lot of other people get to, like, infiltrate the inner circle of that world. So as a result, the family's got some weird ticks, and they're super duper close, and there's just very tight knit, and it's just, you know, one of those vibes where they just say a certain word and everybody knows.
Right, right. Like they could, I bet they could all pretty much read each other's minds at that point.
Exactly.
Tight knit doesn't even seem like a strong enough word. They were just, mm-hmm. they were such a unit, you know? In 1981, the family had this Mexican restaurant and it went under, and the family had to declare bankruptcy and they were evicted from their home. And they didn't have anywhere to go in Lake Jackson. So they had to like uproot their family and move. Economically, there was like a recession at the time that affected the oil industry specifically. So I remember so much of my family's income comes from the oil industry. I remember, even though this was well before we were born, people talking about the struggle with the oil industry in the 80s. And so that affected them really, really bad.
And the family was forced to move back to Corpus Christi and live with Abraham's family. So really hard time for them.
Yeah.
Not sure if there's a huge difference back in the 80s, but today Hispanic people make up like 65% of the population here. So, and a lot of them were either English as a second language, bilingual, or just spoke Spanish primarily. Mm-hmm. So Abraham was like, I wonder if we could increase our chances of getting booked at more places if we sang Spanish in our songs. Maybe that's a good idea.
And that's how Selena y Los Dinos became a Tejano band. Okay, Nathan, tell us what Tejano music means. Like, what does that mean?
Simply put, it's like a Spanish language music, but it's got like this, okay. So, in Selena's own words, in an interview from 1995, she said, "Tejano music is a fusion of different types of music all rolled up into one package." Truth.
Yes.
It's country music, it's jazz, it's German polka, combined with Mexican music. And it's true.
It's a bit of a gumbo, isn't it? It's a bit of a gumbo. Okay, so they become a Tejano band. The problem? Not a single person in the band spoke Spanish.
Might be an issue.
So this 10-year-old girl is learning these traditional Tejano songs phonetically, probably not really knowing what she's saying a lot of the time, just mimicking what she's heard, like what her dad is telling her to say. But everyone says you wouldn't know it by just like the passion that she sang with. Like, I feel like, I mean, go watch anything Selena performs.
Oh, yeah.
I feel like she could perform the alphabet song and you would be like, I felt that shit. You know, I felt so that. True. I felt those ABCs in my soul. Like, the way that she sung, it didn't matter that she didn't know what she was saying. You fucking felt the passion. Were her pronunciations perfect? No. No, but it didn't need to be because she was so magnetic to watch. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. No, absolutely. Like, when you're a performer, and Selena, if there's something you need to know about her, she's a performer.
Yes.
she lights up the stage.
Yeah.
Like, she walks on the stage and it's just like, there's just like this energy, magic. Mm. Like, there's just something there that when she steps on the stage, it just... bam, it lights up.
Last night, Nathan and I got together and we were watching her final performance. It's on YouTube, all 50 minutes of it at the Houston Rodeo. And the first like 8 minutes is like in English, but the rest of it, it's not in English, but you don't need to know what she's saying to feel like her. Do you agree?
No, I agree. Yeah. And from all accounts, like people said that she was like that on stage, but she was also like that off stage as well. Like, she just had that high energy, positive personality, very outgoing, just that super duper engaging type of person.
Aries as fuck. Absolutely. So something I kept reading about this family is that every single person in the family had like this incredible work ethic. But I also wonder if it wasn't also like, we're just in survival mode, you know?
Uh-huh.
Because the parents don't have jobs. The band is what's putting food on the table. So they're hustling to get whatever gigs they could get. Country fairs, school proms, clubs. Literally, there are stories about them singing on the corner for change. You know, like, it just feels more, yeah, of course you got a work ethic when you don't know where your next meal is coming from, you know?
True. Also, fun fact, they were Jehovah's Witness.
Oh.
So that was their religion.
Oh.
But they didn't celebrate Christmas, they didn't celebrate Easter, birthdays, that sort of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if a club manager was like, hey, we want to have a Christmas party, Christmas Eve, no bands are available because, you know, Christmas. They're spending it with their families.
Yeah.
Selena Dinos was like, okay.
We're not doing anything that night. We don't celebrate Christmas. We'll do it. So,
yeah.
I think that's interesting. And it just kind of shows how they were willing to just, like, do whatever it took. So, speaking of whatever it took, I need another one of these cocktails. This yes. is delicious. So, Nathan, do you mind if we take a quick break while I top off my drink?
I don't mind
at all. Oh. Be right back.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
I'm Jane Perlez, longtime foreign correspondent and former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. I've been a foreign correspondent in lots of places, Somalia, Indonesia, Pakistan, but nowhere as important to the world as China.
I mean, China is not dropping anti-democratic paratroopers into Montana. But of course, we did see things like the weather balloon / spy balloon riveting the whole country for a week.
This is Face Off, an 8-part series in which we'll take you behind the scenes to key moments in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. We'll speak with a diplomat, a spy, a tech reporter, a U.S. admiral, even Yo-Yo Ma. Plus, my pal and noted China historian Rana Mitter joins the conversation. We'll look at what's driving the two nations apart and explore whether anything can help bring them back together. Face Off launches April 9th.
And we are back. So,
yes.
It's 1984, and Selena is only 13. And she and her band are signed to a record label for the first time.
What?
What were you doing at 13? Not being signed to a record label?
I was in middle school.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what most people were doing. The label is called Freddie, the Freddie label, and it just wasn't a good fit. The record executive told them, Tejano audiences don't like girl singers. Like, maybe she'll have one hit, maybe she'll have two if it's a fluke, but it's going to be like a novelty act. She's not going anywhere. Selena's like, you must not know about me.
Exactly.
But no, they were like, she's not going to have a career. And you should put her like as a backup dancer and get a male singer. So needless to say, they didn't stick around at Freddie Records very long.
Yeah, they switched labels and start putting out albums, and people start paying attention. It's like, finally.
You're 12. But, sit down.
She's a teenager. Like, really.
It's almost like it kind of never even occurred to anyone in the family that they wouldn't be successful. You know, like no one in the band, they manifested this. They worked very, very hard. But yeah. It just like never occurred to anyone that like, what do you mean if we don't make it? Obviously, we're going to make it. What are you talking about?
And Selena would later say that it was a lot of pressure for a young girl,
yeah.
Which, I mean, Avi,
yeah.
Knowing that her performances determined whether the family had food on the table
or
not.
Shit.
Like, the whole family was in the band, but it was Selena.
Selena.
Y los Dinos. Selena So that's a lot of pressure for a kid.
That's a lot of fucking pressure for a kid. And her teachers also started to notice at school, because like she was still going to a regular high school. And they were like, Selena shows up to school fucking exhausted. She's not doing well, which I mean, when would she ever do homework or study? No, it was band practice, morning, noon, and night, you know, like, mm-hmm. And a few of her teachers, they actually went to Abraham and they were like threatening to report the Quintanillas to the authorities for being like, this might be against child labor laws. She's not doing well in school. They're working her too hard, which I mean, I kind of want to, I can't really be mad at those teachers because they, I mean.
So her parents take her out of school, you know, as one does.
He actually told them, mind your business.
Yeah. Stage mom. Selena was officially rolled in the quote-unquote American School of Correspondence. So she'd get her lessons in the mail and mail in her test, which seems...
I would have been cheating my ass off. I mean, you were kind of a goody-good in school. I wasn't really a goody-good like you were. I would have been cheating my ass off. I could see you being like, no, I want to earn it. And me being like, I don't know, let me look this up. And like, it just doesn't seem like a quality... I mean, she's getting a practical education, but it just doesn't seem like a... Which I think is something Selena regretted later in her life that she didn't get.
This is like a COVID education before COVID was a thing.
Right.
Like everything was done by mail. Yeah.
Well, could you imagine? Could you imagine doing at home or on the tour bus school before the internet? Like,
no, yeah. That would be crazy.
Oh my god, yeah, I would have been cheating my ass off, absolutely.
I know you would have, off of me, too.
Yeah, I'd be like, hey Nathan, what'd you get for answer 8? And you'd be like, do your own homework, and I'd be like, nerd, fucking virgin over here.
Okay, virgin.
Anyway, so to us now, we might be thinking, like, wow, she was really missing out on, like, a normal childhood. This performance schedule, that's too much for a kid. Mm-hmm. But a lot of people who knew her, like, personally, not just, like, random people that have written stories about her, like, people that knew her personally, have said that she loved performing. So she still, like, even as an adult, she didn't view this as being taken advantage of. Because she wanted to perform. She wanted to be out there dancing. She wanted to be out there singing. No one ever mentions her saying, like, she was ever performing against her will. She really did legitimately want to be doing that. So, cool. I mean, you know, what does a 13-year-old know? But good for her.
Yeah, good for you. In 1985, there was a big break for Selena y Los Dinos.
Yes.
And they appeared on the Johnny Canales show, which was a huge Spanish language variety show, like aired on Univision here in the U.S. It was exposure for them.
Yeah, and in 85, she would have been like 14. So that is... Oh, could you imagine, like, I feel like it's similar if, like, a 14-year-old now was, like, on the Jimmy Kimmel show or something like that.
Yeah, that's a good parallel.
Yeah, like, that would be, like, such, like, did my friends see it? Did my friends at school see me on the show? Like, and it showed here in the U.S., yeah. So, fun side note, Selena was interviewed on the Johnny Canales show. And her Spanish wasn't perfect because, again, she didn't grow up speaking Spanish. She was only ever sang Spanish. So she can sing in Spanish perfectly, but then when they came and, like, actually interviewed her, she was just sort of like, "Urgh!" And, like, her Spanish wasn't perfect, and they kind of picked fun at her for kind of, like, tripping over her Spanish speaking. And so she kind of laughed it off. She rolled with the punches. But when she got home, and we're going to see this time and time again with Selena, she took that shit personally, and she was like, fuck you. Next time I'm on your show, I'm going to speak Spanish so fucking perfectly, you're not going to know that I wasn't born in Monterey and, like, just went home and just was, like, Spanish. Like, everyone just talked to me in Spanish. I am perfecting this. And can you just imagine having that kind of drive for anything?
I know.
She's like, no one's going to tell me I can't do shit. Prime Aries attitude is what that is.
I know. Now, all the Quintanilla kids are out of school, so everyone is focusing 100% on the band. And Big Brother AB is coming into his own as his own songwriter. Mm-hmm. And he's really into pop and rock, so he starts incorporating elements of that into the Tejano sound.
Yeah.
The big top 20 of the day were Janet Jackson, Paula Abdul,
Madonna, so, Mariah Carey, yeah.
Straight up now, tell me, do you really wanna love me forever? Exactly. So it had that electronic keyboard sound, is what we're getting.
Yeah.
It was all
drum machines. And yeah. No, if you, since we're not a music podcast, we won't go into it, but there's a podcast called 60 Songs That Define that explain the 90s. 60 Songs That Explain mm-hmm. the 90s. And the writer, the music critic for that podcast, I really, really respect. I can't remember his name, but I love him. So if you go listen to the episode about Selena, he goes into why everything they were doing was so out there for Tejano music. They were incorporating punk. They were incorporating dance. They were incorporating hip hop. And no one else in the Tejano scene was doing that. So if you want more information on that, check out that episode. But what we're getting at is that they are just different, you know? Mm-hmm. On top of them doing all the music a little bit differently, they also have this energetic female singer, which was also a novelty, like we said. So it's just like nothing else on the Tejano scene, and people are starting to pay attention. They're starting to get recognized. And in 1987, Selena started really getting recognized, and she wins an award for the top female entertainer of the year at the Tejano Music Awards. How cool is that?
Oh my gosh.
And she's only 16.
I love this for her.
Can you imagine? I just imagine like her being like, oh, do you have, oh, are you, were you the top entertainer? No? No? Just me?
Of the year?
No, just me? Just me on this little award over here? Oh, a little old me? Yeah.
They are getting recognized. They are making money.
Finally.
Not like loads and loads of money, but enough to like put food on the table and to start a band and to really get things going.
Put money back into the band. Like previously, I felt like they were making money to put food on the table solely. Now they can like invest in the band. They did all this with like on a shoestring budget. So now that they actually have money coming in, what can they do with their band, you know?
Yeah.
Up until now, they had been touring around in a van, like a minivan, like just literally their equipment on a trailer attached to the van, and everybody in the van, like ass to elbow, like it is just like now they can afford a tour bus. So they get a secondhand tour bus, and they name it Big Bertha.
Oh, yeah.
Have you ever named any of your cars? Any of your vehicles?
Absolutely. Yeah. Every single one of them.
Does your current one have a name?
Yes. Susie. She's a silver fox.
Oh. What about your first one? What about that beetle bug you used to have?
The beetle bug.
The beetle bug that got you high riding in it from all the fumes. Like, oh, that was a clunker.
Velma the Volkswagen. Like I have to make sure.
I named one car, my very first car. I named her Prudence after Dear Prudence, the Beatles song.
You would.
That car broke down on me every chance it got. Like it was the biggest fucking.
And I can just see Katie in the middle of the road going, Dear Prudence,
why don't you start today?
Yes,
absolutely. Absolutely. So after I decided for me, I think naming cars is bad luck, so I never named a car again. But Big Bertha is the perfect name for a tour bus.
on Big Bertha because she had more space to herself. She's not like Selena's not all crammed up with her siblings.
She's not ass to elbow with her siblings anymore. Yeah.
Yeah, Selena on Big Bertha is having her best life, living her best life on Big Bertha. She starts doing fashion sketches for herself and for the whole band, and this becomes a huge passion for her, which I love. She got all the band's measurements, sent them off to a seamstress, and then anytime she'd have an idea for an outfit, she'd do like sketches.
Yeah.
She'd buy the fabric and sequins, whatever was needed, she got it. And then she ended up sending it all to a seamstress and they'd make her designs for the whole band, which is so cool.
If you go and watch like the recordings from the late 80s and early 90s, the whole band is in like matching outfits. Those were all designed by Selena. Speaking of the whole band, now that they have money to pay people, it's time to start hiring some professional musicians, i.e. people that are not in your immediate family. Because they had had other people in the band, because you can't be a full touring band with just a drummer, a singer, and a bass player. You need all the other instruments and whatnot. But they had pretty much at this point relied on cousins to fill those roles. But now they can hire professional players, i.e. people that are not related to you. So they hire a keyboard player and they hire some backup singers. And brother AB, who is still songwriter in the music industry to this day, he's like, we need a lead guitar player who can fucking shred. I want something different than what other Tejano bands have. And he starts searching.
And he goes out in San Antonio and tries to go and see as many Tejano bands as he could possibly see in one night. And then he sees this guy named Chris Perez, who was playing a local San Antonio band. And he looks at him and he's like, damn, this guy is good. Yeah. He played Tejano music, but by the way he played, you could tell his influences were very rock-centric, very punk kind of centric, just like everyone else in the band. So it just seemed like a good fit.
Yeah, he was like, I'm looking for someone that can play Tejano, but can play Tejano with a twist, you know? And yeah, so long story short, this guy Chris, maybe he'll be important later, he joins the band. I'm saying this for no reason. Just take this with, you know, however you want to take it. Selena is 17. Chris is 19. I think it's important to remember Selena has never spent time with people basically outside of her family. And hey, Nathan, were you horny when you were 17?
If you got me a hot guy that could play guitar really well and finger a guitar, I bet he could finger something else really well.
I was not expecting you to bring up finger banging in the Selena episode, but okay, here we are. So now they've got a new member of the band. He's hot. He's age appropriate. He can play the guitar and he's not related to her. So anyway, mentioning this for no reason. No reason.
Because it's unlike any other episode that we've done in Queen's Podcast. Because usually they are related.
They are. But in this one, we're like, ooh, it's scandalous because they're not cousins.
Yeah. Whoa.
Anyway. Reel it in.
Yes. That same year, the band is approached by EMI Records. This is huge. That's a big record label.
Yeah. I mean, in 1989, Nathan, tell me some of the bands that were on EMI in the 80s.
Let me just reel this one in, too.
Yep.
Depeche Mode, Blondie, Queen. Maybe you've heard of
them. Maybe you've heard of them. I mean, that alone, for the 80s, but that even before they, I think the Beatles were on EMI Records in the 60s. Like, it's a major,
that's a huge
major label. What they're doing at this time in the 80s, Gloria Estefan was a huge hit maker in the mid 80s. Nathan, What's your favorite Gloria Estefan song? Because mine is "Come on, baby, move that conga, no,
yeah." Any same.
What about "Rhythm is gonna get you"? Like, oh,
the rhythm is gonna get you. The rhythm is gonna get you tonight.
Yes, and so that was huge. Latino, you know, kind of influences, though she's Cuban and Selena's Mexican, but still they're like, okay.
Latin culture.
And so EMI is like, we want a Gloria Estefan type figure. Gloria Estefan was on Columbia Records. And so EMI started a Latin branch, like a EMI Latin. Okay. And they were like, we need to start a huge chunk of this country's population speaks Spanish, so it makes sense. We want a Latin label, and they are building that up. We want our Gloria Estefan. Hey, look at this little teenager over here that can sing her heart out. They found her. They were like, we found her.
Yes.
We found our Gloria Estefan.
And after that, things just start taking off for our girl.
Yeah.
Professionally, personally, everything is checking off. Selena actually wanted to start releasing music in English because that's what she listened to. Yeah. And EMI was like, sure. After you release like one or two Tejanos, Spanish-speaking albums, then you can do English. And they call that a crossover album. So give your diehard fans what they want, and then let's talk about what you want to do later, right?
That makes sense. That makes sense from a business point of view. Like, do what you're already doing, and once we see that can really sell and that your fans are really into it, then you can do the crossover album. Makes sense to me. Her debut album is titled Selena. It debuts at number 7 on the Mexico Billboard charts. That is, for a debut album, that is amazing. Fun fact, like I said, about my little Texas heart just loving so many things about this episode, the album was recorded 100% in Texas, in Houston and San Antonio.
Ooh. Born and raised, Texas, baby. We love that.
I wasn't born here, though. My dad was in the military, so I was born not even in the country. I can't even say I'm an American born and raised.
Here she goes again. She was born in Italy, guys.
I don't know if y'all know this about me, but I've been traveling my whole life.
You know who she's related to? She's related to the Pope. No.
I am.
Didn't think he was coming up in this episode, but he did.
Katie de' Medici, yes. Anyway.
So Coca-Cola, ye old Coca-Cola, they come ringing, calling on
their
phone.
I don't know if you've heard of them. I don't know. Do people do people still drink Cokes?
Yeah, right. And they're like, hey, we want a beautiful Tejano singer, and maybe you fit the bill. you should do some commercials for us in Texas right now, because we're here in Texas, and... I don't know, in case anyone doesn't know, Texas has a very, very large Spanish-speaking community.
Yeah.
So hooking up with Coca-Cola and doing a Tejano commercial just makes sense.
Amazing. So obviously, Dad Abraham is like, he's still calling all of her shots. And he is like, of course, Selena would love to be in a Coca-Cola commercial. Because... dollar bills, y'all. So
yeah, right.
He like goes to brother AB and is like, start writing this jingle ASAP. And he's like, get that new guitar player, what's his name, Perez or whatever, get him to help you write that. Y'all write a jingle for Selena for her Coke commercial.
And they did. And she performed it both in English and in Spanish. And this was huge for her career and exposure. And, you know, they got that Coke money, girl.
Ching, ching. Dollar bills coming in. I mean, that's a huge step forward for her for exposure.
So, Katie, this sounds like a great place.
Let's take a break.
I gotta go take a break.
I need a Coke. I need to grab myself a Coke. And yes. We will be right back.
Hello, everyone. You may recognize me as Gabby from the History of Everything podcast. And my name is Brenna, and you don't recognize me from anything yet.
Together, we're two scientists who explore all of the weird little questions and conspiracies of the universe in our new podcast, Mystery of Everything. Everything has an explanation.
We hope.
But that is what we're here to figure out. We will dive into the science behind many popular conspiracy theories, such as vaccines causing autism, flat earth theory, and was the moon landing fake? And if so, why the heck would anyone even do that?
But it's not just conspiracies. There's a lot of cool mysteries that we will attempt to use science to explain, such as near-death experiences, what made the Vikings go berserk, and can I control my co-host with MK Ultra?
Wait, what? Anyway, make sure to check out the Mischief Everything podcast everywhere where you find your podcasts.
Hello everyone, it's Takuya here.
And I'm Gabby.
And we are the hosts of History of Everything, a podcast which you can probably guess by the name is, well, I mean, it's about everything. Do you want to know why people thought potatoes were evil and would give you syphilis? Are you curious about all the stories of the terrible and stupid ways that people have kicked the bucket over the years? Do you want to hear tales about all of the different badasses of history and the lives that they had brought to life? Well, if so, then look no further. History of Everything is just the right podcast for you. It's available on Spotify, Pandora, and anywhere else that you get your podcast from. Join us for some fun and just see how weird and wacky history can be.
And we're back. So let's bring it back to this Chris guy. The hot, you know, totally age appropriate, not related. And Selena is now about 18 and he's about 20.
Adults. Everyone's adults.
Yes. And in his book, he says that one day the whole band was on a flight to Mexico and he and Selena had never chatted that much one-on-one, but they're on this flight and Chris hadn't flown much before and they hit a little bit of turbulence.
Oh. Which can be a little scary if you've never flown before, and Selena could tell that he was freaked out. And so she goes and sits by him and is like, hey, chill. It's going to be okay. Sometimes flights are bumpy. Do you want to hold my hand? Will that make you feel better? And he was like, yes, please. And they just kind of never quit holding hands after that. And they dated in secret for about a year.
Okay, wait. Why in secret?
Because Abraham would lose his fucking shit if he found out that Selena was dating. Selena's reputation, one, was squeaky clean. Like, it was part of her appeal. You could bring your kids to see her. And she was starting to push the envelope with her sexy onstage costumes, but that really wasn't a big deal because, like, Madonna was doing way sexier stuff at the time, you know? So she was...
Yeah.
Yeah. She was viewed as a role model to young girls.
Yeah.
What if she got pregnant, you know, like...
Chris's record is not the squeakiest of squeaky cleans.
No, not at all.
First of all, doesn't speak Spanish, not a fan of Tejano, but so what? Selena wasn't a Spanish speaker either, but as far as her fans knew, she was really into that culture.
Yeah, but even more than that, Chris had a few things on his record. He had actually gotten in trouble for drinking and driving in San Antonio about a month or two after he started dating Selena secretly. But the staff at the jail recognized him. And so it didn't get released to, like, they were able to kind of protect him and it wasn't, like, in the newspapers or whatever, you know?
But it's still on his record.
Yeah.
And Selena at this point is like, are you fucking stupid? Because not only is that dangerous, he could get put on probation. And if that happened, he couldn't travel with the band at that point.
You can't leave the country and go on tour of Mexico if you're on probation.
She's like, maybe next time you better think.
Maybe next time you use the brain part of your brain. The thinking part. Use the thinking part of your brain to think with, please, is what she told him. Direct quote, I'm pretty sure. And then another time.
Direct quote.
Use the thinking part of your brain to think. Thank you. And then another time, about 6 months into their relationship, Chris and some roadies of the band, they trashed a hotel room. I don't understand why you always hear about rock stars doing this, trashing hotel rooms. Why is that fun?
I'm just imagining.
Alcohol was involved. Yes.
That's what I was about to say is like, as a person that has performed before, after a performance, you've got a lot of nerves. And you've got, like, they're you're still, like, kind of shaky. Though. And so, well, I mean, like, for him, you drink afterwards. And so you're like, let me calm myself with this shot. You know, and then after, like, 12 shots, then you trash a hotel room. So I can see it, but it's not appropriate.
Okay,
it's
so I'm giving Nathan this. Shut the fuck up, look. Because, you know what? The two of us, how many times have we performed? A bajillion? And how many times have we gotten drunk? A bajillion. Have we ever thrown a chair through a window? Like, it just doesn't come into my mind to be like, I guess maybe some people, maybe you've got a violent streak or you don't. Because I've been drunk plenty of times and I've had nerves plenty of times. And I've never thought, you know what's going to make this better? Destruction. No, like.
That's not in my mindset. So.
Right. And after he trashed that room, Selena actually broke up with him for like 2 days. Because she was like.
2 days. That's a typical, like, 18-year-old,
yeah. But no, she was like, and I do respect her for this. She was like, I have a reputation, and you're fucking with it. Because whenever you are on tour with me, you're representing me. And you're fucking, like, you're doing a destruction? Not fucking cool, dude. And yeah, they broke up. She took him back, like, right away. I mean, I respect that, to be like, hey, I've got a reputation, you know?
And like sneaky, sneaky little teenagers do, they're sneaking around for like over a year.
How hot is that?
Yeah, I like you just have to like the little touch here, and the little creep pinch there.
Just that is
my favorite. Like you come up and you like little pinch of my booty.
Let me know when it's hot.
So everyone knew that there was some booty pinching except Abraham. they knew that everybody knew.
And they were seeing each other. Except for Daddy.
I know. And she's 19 and there's this super hot guitarist fingering his guitar. And that's, you know, that's what a 19-year-old wants. But let's just put another pin in that.
Because we are going to switch gears. What else does Selena have going on in her life right now?
Back in Corpus Christi, when they had downtime between touring, Selena spent all her time sketching. So remember this, like she was sketching for the band. Tour bus. She rented a studio apartment to kind of act as her design studio. So she'd go there, sketch, have local designers, bring over materials. She was a nerd.
I love it. She was such a nerd about fashion. Yes.
And Katie is here for it. She wanted to know the materials, what they're made of, where they came from, how do they deal with it, how do they wear and tear, what happened whenever, like, every
little detail. Is this easy to sew? Is this easy to sew on? Is this hard to sew on? What kind of machine do I need? Like, she was a fashion nerd. Like, what are the trends?
What's the trends? Yeah, like, what's going on in life? Like, what's going on in fashion? Like, what's happening? Like,
you know what?
She was going to be a major fashion label if she wouldn't have passed away.
You know what I just thought about? She's giving me Rihanna. Right?
But could you imagine if Selena, I know people, if you're listening,
spoiler
people
alert.
Didn't know Selena died then.
Well,
but
obviously, we only cover dead people, so.
Yeah. Could you imagine if Selena was able to create a fashion Latina label, Latinx label? It would be beautiful.
It would be glittery.
We are here for it. Okay, we are fantasizing.
Anyway, and we're dreaming of Selena's line. Anyway, Abraham actually, her dad actually hated that she had a passion outside of the band. And honestly, this is the part of the story where I like to say, objectively, it seems like he's a bit of a control freak, don't you think?
Yeah, like, a little bit.
I don't want to say too much negative about him, and I don't think too much negative about him, but I'm not going to say more than this because he is still alive and I do not want to get sued. But it just seems to me like he only didn't like her doing fashion because it took away from her focus on music, and that's what...
Ah.
Right? Right. He just wasn't crazy about having her own fashion line, but it was her passion, you know?
But that makes sense, yeah. Because when she was in the band, he was the manager. Mm-hmm. He was calling the shots. Mm-hmm. But if she was doing this fashion thing, she's doing her own thing.
Yeah.
Has nothing to do with the family, has nothing to do with her father.
Yeah.
And honestly, I think her having her own thing freaked him the furk out.
Yeah.
The furk.
What the furk? But no, it really seems like he wanted her just to focus on music. One, because it was his passion.
Yes.
But two, because maybe he kind of wanted her under his thumb at all times. Again, I don't know. It's just speculation. I'm not saying.
He might be a bad guy, but I'm just
no,
saying.
No, I don't think he's a bad guy, but I think, you know what? Maybe the thought of losing his baby girl scared him, which I think is natural.
But yeah, she's 19. She's an adult. If she wants to pursue another interest, it's actually none of your business.
She's an adult and fucking woman. I mean, no one's smart at 19, but you're still legally an adult.
But I mean, if she was a man, we wouldn't say anything about it.
Yeah.
She's an adult. She wants to date. She wants to hook up. It's none of your business. Mm-hmm. Like, leave it alone. But she's done her dad a courtesy of just, you know, keeping it in the dark for a little bit.
Yeah. Just kind of being like, you don't need to know about my relationship. You don't need to know about how far I'm going with this fashion thing. It's fine. Y'all, over the next year, so much happens all at once that it's impossible to do it in chronological order, so we're just gonna kind of do an info dump. In 1991, Selena becomes the first female Tejano singer to earn a gold record ever.
What?
It's fucking huge, Nathan.
Ah, yes. In that same year, she has her first number one song on the Mexican Billboards, a song called Buenos Amigos, which was a duet with another Spanish singer.
I love this for her. So it's just like, bam, bam, bam. She is knocking down boundaries. She is busting that glass ceiling. And she is 19 years old. Our girl is in high demand. And EMI, her record label, comes to her and is like, girl, we need you to do a tour of Mexico yesterday. Like, if you could leave 3 weeks ago, that would be great. Like, get out there. And so the band is just like, we all got our passports. We are going south of the border, y'all.
Could you imagine she would just be like the share of the South? She would never stop going on tour, and we would always go sing with Selena. Gone too soon. Sorry. Around this time, they start getting messages left on their answering machine at home. A friend of the family had an aunt who had seen Selena play at the show and had become a huge fan. Her name was Yolanda Salazar. Katie just spit. That was the most Sophia moment I've ever seen of a golden girl. She just, I just started saying Yolanda and she was like,
carry on. So,
her name was Yolanda Saldivar.
I'm sorry. Moment. I'm sorry. Oh, when I hear girls. The devil's name, I gotta spit. I don't know what to say.
I'm from Sicily. Picture it. Yolanda. So Yolanda, she wanted to know if she could start Selena's fan club.
Now, Selena had met Yolanda before. Like once or twice, because Yolanda had come to a bunch of her shows, and Selena did have this, y'all, she loved her fans. So if she noticed, if she saw someone out in the crowd that she had seen previously, she would be like, bring that person backstage. I want to meet them. So therefore, like, Yolanda wasn't a stranger. She wasn't a complete stranger. But she also wasn't, like, in the inner circle. So whenever she reached out and was like, can I start a fan club? The family was like,
Fuck yeah. That's awesome. Like, she wants to do this, and she's going to do it for free?
Yeah.
And unfortunately, that's where we're going to leave this episode now with Yolanda.
Not foreshadowing. If you don't know what happens.
A fan club.
Oh, good God. All right, Nathan. Well, let's circle back in a couple of weeks.
Cheers, bitches.
Cheers, bitches.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.